What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined today by Greg Majewski. This guy's got 24 incredible years of experience in the food and beverage industry, and over which time he's not only invested in restaurants, but he is the former CFO, COO, and CEO of Jimmy John's, where he grew stores from 33 to 300. He is now the CEO of Mongolian Concepts, and since he has so much extra time, he's also the CEO of Craveworthy Brands, which has some incredible concepts like Wing It On, one of our favorites, an Ovation partner. And Greg, so grateful that you took some time to come on the podcast.
Thanks, Zach. I'm glad to be here. It's exciting to be here. I'm a fan of yours. Your personality and your excitement for what you do every day is exactly what I look for in partners. And so I was thrilled to know that Wing It On was using you. Because again, everything you do and the way you live and the way you just love your product is exactly what the industry needs. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you. Yeah. They say that you got to fall in love with the problem, not the solution. Right. And, man, this is such it's such a great industry filled with amazing people. And I'd love to understand a little more about this Craveworthy, brands that you came on as CEO in the last couple months. What's that been like? I mean, obviously this is not your first rodeo at being CEO of a restaurant or restaurant group. What's been different? What's been the same?
So Craveworthy started, I wanted to do this as soon as I left Jimmy John's. So it's basically 15 years in the making. I always felt that emerging brands don't get the attention and the love that they need to be successful. So usually you can have a great idea in a great restaurant, but you don't know how to get from point A to point B or point B to point C because you don't have the infrastructure in place to actually compete with the big boys. And that became more and more evident over the last 15 years that if you either had to have big PE money behind you or you were never going to get there because you just could not do the things that you needed to do. So I wanted to create a restaurant company that did not need big PE money to come in and sort of tell me how to run the business and let the restaurant operators and the restaurant people actually do it the way restaurants should do it, which is care about the people, care about the product, don't cut corners because you just got to make a profit, serve incredible food that people have to have this craveability for. And with that, by then having that and then taking care of your staff and providing this level of hospitality that's going away in this industry, that you can do anything. So we created Craveworthy to sort of let restaurant people be that, find passionate concepts and people that are passionate about what they do and help them get to the point where they can compete on a bigger stage. So we then put together this platform that allows you to have incredible access to marketing that you can never get, to a CFO from McDonald's that used to be a VP of finance that you would never be able to afford on your own, to operation teams and HR and all these other tools that you need, training departments that it cost a fortune to start a training department and do it right and build that culture. So we've set all these pieces in place so these emerging brands now have access to these things to sort of help them get to that next point and to do it without removing the founders and the people that built the brand at that point. So most PE companies want you out, you know, buy you and they're going to go and do it. I'm different. I want to work with these people because they have this passion for what they do and they know their brands and help them get to that next point and then build them to be the next great leader in the restaurant industry. And so that's what Craveworthy is all about.
Love that. I think, I mean, what it sounds like you're doing is you're taking, it's like, I think of it like, I'm a dad of three right now, soon to be four. And it's like, I feel like I get the best parts of being a dad, right? I get dinner time, bedtime, and weekends because I'm working all day, right? Sounds like you're taking out the middle of the day where they're having their mid-nap meltdowns. You're taking out the things that aren't as fun, the things that aren't like the real hospitality, the reason that most restaurateurs get into restaurants is because they care about people, right? They want people to feel fed and feel whole, not sit down and do accounting, right?
Right. And correct. And it's giving them a chance to do what we do best. And if you're a restaurant person that is making a great product and taking care of the customers that come in and the people that you work for every day, we know how to operate. Most of us don't know how to do everything else. And so we want to provide those things and then just have the buying power of a bigger group together to help with purchasing contracts and everything else. I mean, how hard is it to go and negotiate it when you have 4 stores, but when you can now say you have over 100 stores and another, 50 under development, that you can negotiate a much better rate than you would have before. And that's what we're going to help them do. And we're still looking for brands to bring in.
Oh, still looking. Okay. So Craveworthy is not complete. It's not, no. Still, there's still some openings.
Yep.
Interesting. Awesome. Well, one of the things that, and if I may, I mean, you quite frankly are I hate to like put this up on a pedestal like that, but you're a franchise luminary, man. Like you figured out how to do it. You know how to do it. And so the question is, when is it right to franchise versus be corporate owned?
So, I mean, it really depends on the brand. So you can start franchising as little as 1 store if you have a cult following and stuff like that, but you need to have a timeline where you can actually see some results. So a lot of people get in and think, oh, I'm going to franchise day one and this is where we're going to go and it's the greatest thing. You really got to sort of have a system in place that you can showcase to somebody that you can franchise. Most people that start to franchise don't have all that set up when you're emerging and you're a baby. So what Craveworthy is able to do again is help you. If I find a brand that has 1 location but doesn't have everything else, we can write all those systems and the procedures and all those things needed for you to be able to franchise. If you're in this industry and you want to grow, franchising is one of the greatest ways to do so. I would tell everybody when you're designing a restaurant or getting into this business that you should instantly start planning for it day one. So that should be your long-term goal. Franchising is no different than opening up 100 restaurants corporately owned. It's either doing it with your money or partnering with these exceptional entrepreneurs that want to go ahead and do something in the industry, but don't know how to create a brand. Yeah. So it's either you do it on your own or you do it with these great partners that are out there that want to open with you. And you treat them like you would if they were corporate, and you spend that kind of time and that kind of energy with them to make them successful because they're your customer at that point, as you would if they were your own stores. No different. It's just 2 different paths, 2 different ownerships. So when I look at franchising, I look at it as that my franchisees are my customer. They are just like my family. They're just like my stores, that it's my job to make sure they make money and at what they do every day. So I have to provide the tools and everything they can need. And I have to go above and beyond if they're struggling to help them get to the point where they're successful, because it's my investment just like it's theirs. And if you think that way, franchising is an incredible way to grow.
That's really interesting. I've never heard franchising explained like that, because normally it's like, how do I put in as little effort as possible to get these stores to open? And you're saying, no, let's flip the script on that. Make it something where, it's a true partnership and treat them as a corporate store. I think that's a great philosophy to have, because a lot of the issues that you see are when people, they haven't really caught the vision of the brand, right? I was at a franchise location yesterday and it was completely filthy, right? And it was gross. There was, everything was dirty out front. In the back of the kitchen, it looked dirty. There were like the ketchup thing, the ketchup dispenser. It was totally empty. And I went up and I was like, hey, do you have ketchup? And she goes, oh, it's been empty for a couple of days. And I'm like, okay. But that's an example of someone who didn't quite catch the vision of what it was supposed to be, right?
So, I mean, and that's why picking that right partner to go in business with is so important. And it's the franchisor's job to put the Kool-Aid of your brand in and the excitement of the brand into every franchise that comes around. And so you've got to get them to drink your Kool-Aid. And that Kool-Aid is so important for the continuation of the brand success. And it's, you know, we have four pillars that we strive for every day in all of our restaurants that we operate, is that we want to be incredible food, perfect all the time, obviously. We want to be hospital clean. We want to have systems and procedures. And then we want to take care of our guests and our family.
Yeah.
And if those four pillars are always in place, then you can always be successful. The restaurant should always at least have its best chance of doing what it needs to be. But if any one of those four pillars aren't right, then the place starts to wobble.
Yeah.
And you have to go back and start fixing. But no restaurant, no business is any different. And you just got to get those things in place day in and day out. And so we take a lot of time in building that culture. So those four pillars are in place. So when our franchisee needs training, they're ready to rock. They're so pumped up to put those things in place. And then we're with them all the time. We're in their stores. We visit their stores. We go over financial statements. We spend that time helping them get to the returns that they need. I can't promise that you're going to get there, but we're going to fight with you until it's time to stop fighting, you know, yeah. And to make sure you get the best chance at success you can have.
I love that. I think it's so cool. Now, Greg, time machine. You go back in time and you're sitting down with Greg 24 years ago. What do you tell him? What advice would you tell him? What do you wish you would have known 24 years ago?
To believe that in the end, everything's going to end up working out. That the hard work that you believe in is actually going to be what sets you apart. So as you come up, everyone tells you work hard, work hard, work hard, and you'll be successful. And it's hard to believe that at certain times. And I always take into account, I was always told, you don't need to be the smartest person in the room. You have to outwork everybody. And I believed that then. And back then, to be a 22-year-old kid walking into Jimmy John's and having an opportunity like I had to move up, I wasn't the smartest person in the room. But I knew that if I outworked everybody, I had this white space that I could go and just run. And so I took that to heart and I put in the time and the effort and the long hours and everything else. And the rewards are great if you do it, but you can't just put in enough time and think that, hey, I'm going to collect my paycheck and stop it at a certain point. It's, you've got to put in above and beyond to get to those next levels. And that's hard when you're going through it. It's hard to put in the time and give up certain things, but life is short. And if you don't work hard to get to a certain point, you're not going to enjoy all the things that life has to offer. People today, and I tell my kids all the time, people today want to work less and make more. And, you know, and it's a wonderful philosophy if it can work, but those that come in and want to work hard and realize that, hey, a job is a job, but it's also incredible. If you love what you do, it's not a job. You know, it's this passion that you have. And I loved what I did from day one, that I never felt like I was working. I absolutely love getting up in the morning to go in and doing what I do. So I tell my kids every day, find the thing that you love to do and then work extremely hard at it. And no matter what, you will be successful. And if I had to go back and look at myself again, I'd continue to tell myself that message over and over again, because that's what, why you're able to get from point A to point B and be successful in what you do.
I love that. I mean, I wish I would have heard that a while ago. Someone told me it wasn't about hard work, it's about poofy hair. And I took that to heart. And now all of a sudden, you're telling me it's about hard work? Oh, man.
Anyway. When you can keep the hair, it's important, but you can't always.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Greg, what do you think is one of the most important aspects of guest experience nowadays?
So I think currently guest experience is being changed and people are taking away from it more than they're giving to it. So I think technology is a wonderful thing in the industry. It's needed. We're always behind. But what people are starting to forget is that the restaurant industry is about hospitality. And hospitality means taking care of your guests the way they want to be taken care of and how they want to be taken care of and when they want to be taken care of. So in today's time, I think it's really, really important to remember that today's customers still want to be coddled. They still want to be greeted. They still want to have that personal connection. They want it on their time. So we have to provide a level of hospitality that they still want in today's world with some of the cool features of the new age. But going into a restaurant and ordering at a kiosk or ordering at a QR code all the time is not what customers want. They still want to have that interaction. So it's how do we find that balance for both, for that customer that's in a hurry, that doesn't want to talk to anyone today, But those that want to sit down and have that whole experience or have somebody come to the counter and take your order, we've got to be able to make that a win-win proposition. So hospitality is going to struggle until we find the proper balance to offer for everybody, because it all depends on what the consumer wants that day.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to offer two tracks. And I'm a believer that we should always greet our guests when they come in. It's a chance to make an impression on them and make them feel welcome. That if you just have those kiosks or just have those QR codes on the table, you're lacking an opportunity to make a connection with that guest that they remember you and come back. And it's a talent and an art that's lost, looking the consumer in the eye and saying, hey, thanks for coming. What can we do for you? You know, and actually making it personal instead of looking down and going, hey, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
And so those are the things that we want to strive for when we take care of our guests.
And I think the nice thing about being in the restaurant industry is that we tend to be the laggards. And so we could look to other industries and see where they've done it. And I think one industry where they've done an exceptional job with this is the airline industry. They do a lot of things very poorly, but one thing they do well is kiosks. And there's always someone there floating around helping people, right? But there's still the kiosk to do self-serve. And there's people who get in there, they know exactly what they want, they do it and they leave. And there's other people who need some help. And I think it's a really good model, because now what you're doing is, instead of helping one person at a time, somebody could be helping three or four or five people at the time it would take them to help one person. And so I think I've seen some restaurants that they do a very good job of doing that, where they have kiosks. It's ordering only from the kiosk. But as people walk in, there's kind of like a maitre d' there, who greets them, who explains the kiosk, who helps them out if they want that help. But I think you're right, which is our consumers today are fairly demanding, because everything else in their world, they can have it their way in terms of, like, you know, I can text someone, I can call someone, I can chat online with someone. It's very easy. And a lot of these technology companies that are outside the hospitality space, they've set that standard of guest communication and what does it mean to care for the guest? And so now it's interesting in the restaurant space, where it's like, okay, this historically has always been this, you know, really a handshake business, right? The actual table touches, but things are changing, mm-hmm. and you got to be able to meet the guest where they're at. And when you're dealing with, you know, I talked to Big Chicken about Gen Alpha, and what is Gen Alpha going to do? How do they want to be communicated with? And that's yet to really be seen, but we need to be thinking about that. We need to be prepping for that, because we got to meet the guests where they're at.
I agree.
So what are some successful tactics? Any tricks up your sleeve that you want to share?
As far as taking care of the guest or just in general? I mean, it's really, we made a joke about it, and I tease and I get in trouble sometimes when I say it, but you want to go ahead. And the biggest thing that I say all the time is that when a guest walks in, you want to greet them authentically, but you also want to, when they leave, you want to give them, make sure they know that you're really thankful that they picked you. So I always use the comparison to a coach after a player does a good job, and you slap them on the ass and you say, great job. It's the same sort of thing as when a customer walks out the door, you sort of want to slap them on the butt and say, hey, thanks for coming. Just so they get that one last little jolt from you on that experience that, wow, what was that? Because it doesn't happen anymore.
And to be clear, that's metaphorical.
Correct. But my team always goes, you can't say that anymore. I'm like, but it's the best analogy in the world to use, because it's the truth. And you want the guests to always feel, when they choose today, especially with the economy and everything else, when they take the time to come out and have a meal and choose you, you want to do everything in your power to make sure they know you're thankful that they picked you today. And that means that even if you're having a crappy day as a server, a crappy day as a manager, that they chose you. It's your chance to make someone remember and feel special that they came out today. And so don't miss that opportunity. Make sure we're always hitting those things to make sure we take care of them. Because if you don't, they ain't coming back in today's world. They're going to go pick somewhere else that did. And so it's so important that you keep that in the forefront every day when you're doing things. Or when you make a mistake, don't hide from it. Tackle it. Get in front of it. Make it right as soon as you can. And so you don't lose that guest so that you can win that. And we make mistakes. So just fix it, admit it, and make the guest happy. If you do that, you're going to win that guest over instead of losing them forever. And if you win them, that guest is so valuable to you, especially in today's act, that you know, it doesn't cost you anything to make it right.
Yep, absolutely. Love that. And who deserves an ovation in the restaurant industry? Who's someone that we should be following, Greg?
So, I mean, there's so many in the industry today. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Big Chicken. They're a lot of fun to watch right now. Wow Bao is another one that has done Ghost Kitchens, right?
I love Jeff.
Helping drive. Yep. So Jeff and that, I mean, so those, but realistically, I wouldn't say that you need to follow people that constantly are making the restaurant industry a focal point and speak for the industry as a whole. So follow the people that actually understand and care about the industry and what they do every day. And those are the people that are going to help you build and stuff like that. Follow the people that actually care about their teams, because the more you learn about building a team and approaching a team and how to build that culture and develop and not have it be about you, the more successful you're going to end up being.
Love that. Now, how do people find and follow you and your brands?
So you can follow me on LinkedIn, type in my name, Greg Majewski, Craveworthy, and you'll find me there. You can find me on Twitter and LinkedIn, both under Craveworthy Brands. You can follow any of my brands, Wing It On, The Bud Long, Crafted Burgers with a K on Instagram, Genghis, BDs, we're everywhere. So just go ahead and type in Craveworthy Brands and we'll pop up or Mongolian Concepts.
Awesome. Well, Greg, for reminding us that the secret ingredients to success are truly hard work and caring about people, today's ovation goes to you. Thank you so much for joining us and giving ovation.
Thank you.
Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.